Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk this morning, brought to you by the County Line Church of Christ. We meet at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. That's located just northwest of the new shopping center up on the North Belt Highway, top of the road there at Cambridge Corners. Just turn left there on County Line Road, come down about 3/4 of a mile. We're up on the north side of the road. We would invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, and 4 p.m. in the afternoons for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I'm talking to you concerning the one true church that we read about in the New Testament, the one that Jesus Christ said he would build in Matthew 16:18. And we have looked at some of the basic principles of what constitutes the one true church. Its founder must be Jesus Christ. And of course, we're going on the principle of encouraging all of our Bible students, our listeners, to examine the church that they may be a member of, that you may be a member of, on the principle that's found within the New Testament pages in passages such as 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where we're told, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test or prove yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test or you be reprobate? Now, this includes everything that we practice, believe, teach religiously. We have to find it within the New Testament pages, the apostles' teachings, and we'll get into that further. Let's just recap what we've looked at so far. The founder of this one true church in the New Testament is Jesus Christ himself. No other founder can be allowed, because there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. We also looked at the foundation being the Son of God, but the foundation he is referenced to by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament as that rock, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 16:18, that laid foundation, that tried foundation. But he is the chief cornerstone, and the apostolic foundation being built on the apostles and prophets. And that means that all that the apostles and prophets have given to us through the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament writings that we have today, that's our creed book. That's what we are to follow. We also got into studying the origin of this one true church that you read about in your New Testament. It would be somewhere around 30 to 33 A.D. And we also noticed the designations, and we were in the designations by apostolic authority. We looked at my church and my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We got down to some of the terms that the inspired apostles referred to this one body, this one church. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 now, where it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So, dear listener, I want you to look at these scriptures, and as I encourage you to do, get a complete concordance like Young's Analytical Concordance to the Bible, or how about Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and there are other ones. These are pretty large books, but you can look up words in the New Testament and all the words that are used in various translations. And when you study the church in the New Testament, it's also referred to as the body. This body, this one body that we'll study about later, this one body is one church. And that's what many people don't want you to believe today. They want you to believe that, oh, there are many, many churches. And it doesn't really matter what church you're a part of. It makes no difference in the sight of God. But dear listener, that's not what the New Testament teaches. And we're interested in all mankind following only that authority from heaven, the New Testament. Now, to do that, as we've noticed in the past, we cannot add to or take away from the New Testament. We cannot make it contradict itself in any way. So we have to understand it, as Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 4, as he understood it, we can understand it. If we properly interpret or explain it, actually, we're not doing that. We're letting it explain or interpret itself. It's of no private interpretation. If we understand it correctly, dear listener, then we're going to not be adding to or taking away from that inspired writing. So when we talk about this one true church, there is only one in the New Testament. And it's also called the body, just as there's only one body. Ephesians 4:4 points that out very clearly, 4 and 5. There's only one church. And that's what we're trying to get people to look at and go to their Bibles and then compare what they're a part of with the one in the New Testament. And that's what's important. We also see in Ephesians chapter 1 and 22 and 23, it says there, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Again, I want you to notice, dear listener, that he uses this term church in the singular. He is head over all things to the church, not different religious organizations with different names and different creeds, but the church, singular. And also he uses the term body, singular. He is head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Again, that's Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Let's look on over at Ephesians chapter 3 and read verses 9 through 12. And there we read in Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 12, "To bring to light for everyone that what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him." Now I want you to notice that in Ephesians 3, 9 through 12, specifically verse 10, it says that the church, and through the church, is the manifold wisdom of God being made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. In other words, God has chosen to present the truth to not only mankind, but to those in the heavenly bodies. In other words, truth comes through this organization, this kingdom that God set up. This truth came through the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that some church on the earth today makes rules and regulations according to what man thinks to change the truth. That's not what it's saying here. And there are some bodies that they say, well, whatever the church decides, and that's law. And so actually they add to and they take away from the New Testament writings. They change their beliefs and their practices religiously, but that's not what this is talking about. Here it's pointing out that God chose through this organization that Jesus came and died for. He shed his blood for this organization, this kingdom, this church. And through this organization, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So when you study your New Testament, that's exactly what you see. You see the Holy Spirit coming to the apostles as Jesus promised them, and prophets, and guided them into all the truth, as John chapter 16 tells us. And so we see that unfolding in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, where they spread the gospel and told people what they had to do to become Christians and to be faithful to the Creator. And then all of the epistles after the book of Acts, giving us instruction directly from God of how to live and what to do from day to day in order to be well pleasing unto him. This is all given to us through the church, the kingdom, that body in the first century, as the apostles taught that truth, and then it was written down and is still written down for us today. And we praise God and thank God for having his truth available for us, that we can study it, we can examine ourselves and compare what we've been taught and what we practice and what we believe with what the New Testament says, so that we can see if what we are following is from God or if it's from man. And remember, as I pointed out in the past, dear listener, that there are only two sources of authority in religion. Jesus pointed this out very clearly. It's either from heaven or it's from men. If it's from heaven, you're going to find it in the New Testament, because that's what we're going to be judged by in the last day. So it's imperative that we understand that our creed book can only be the New Testament as far as we're concerned. Now, the Old Testament is inspired, and we have to use the Old Testament because the Old Testament is what verifies that this Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, all of the prophecies that were fulfilled. And the Old Testament is God-breathed, it's inspired of the Creator. But we can't go to the Old Testament to find authority for what we do religiously today. We have to find the authority under that law that you and I are going to be judged by in the last day, and that's the law of Christ. That's the New Covenant, the New Testament, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's called different things in the New Covenant, the New Testament. But you must understand, dear listener, that you cannot go back to the Old Testament to find authority for what you practice religiously today. You must find the authority in that New Testament, that New Covenant that you and I are going to be judged by. And so we also want to go over to the fifth chapter of Ephesians now and read verses 22 through 33. Now I'm reading this lengthy account here because although it's using a parallel concerning wives and husbands, it's basically dealing with the Christ in the church. And so we read this from verses 22 through 33. And if you have your Bibles open with me, read along or write it down and study it later. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says there, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, that I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So this writing in inspired writing here in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 very clearly shows us the relationship between Christ and the church. He is the Savior of this church, this body. Another thing that we hear a lot today from religious people, they say, you know, the church hasn't got anything to do with salvation. Why are you giving so much time to talking about the church? The church, you don't even have to be in the church or go to church to be saved. That has nothing to do with salvation. Dear listener, that's just not true. If you let the inspired God-breathed word guide your thinking in the religious arena, this passage and other ones will very clearly show you, if you allow it to, that you can't even be saved, and I can't even be saved if we're not in this church, this body that we read about in the New Testament. And it's very clear right here in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. It says he's the Savior of the body. Now, we can use the logic that our Creator has given us and understand that if I'm not within the body, then I'm not going to be saved because he's the Savior of the body. If I'm on a boat and it sinks and I try to get into a lifeboat, then I have to get into that lifeboat in order to keep from drowning. And of course, we understand that principle. It's the same way with this organization, this entity that the Creator has set up called the kingdom, the church, this one body, this one church that we read about in the New Testament. We have to make sure we're in that one church. Unfortunately, man down through the centuries has created many churches with different names and different organizational structures and different doctrines and commandments of men instead of just following the one true church in the New Testament. And so that's what this study is all about, to encourage you to turn to your Bible and to seek out that one true church and to compare what you've been taught and what you might may be practicing today with what you find in the New Testament. Well, let's take a moment or two to remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We invite you to worship with us again this morning at 9:30 AM for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, at 4 PM this afternoon for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 for Bible study. We would like to encourage you, if you would be interested, to call us and ask for a Bible correspondence course. We'll send it to you through the mail. Just leave your name and address at 816-279-4737. Again, that is area code 816-279-4737. And we'll get that information or any Bible information you might be desirous of our sending to you in the mail as soon as possible. If you would like to have a home Bible study to discuss any of these subjects with your Bible, just leave your name and phone number, and we'll return that call and set up a time we can get together and study God's Word with you. Again, we like to mention from time to time that none of us are inspired. We're on the same level that you are. All we have is the inspired Word of God. We could be misunderstanding. We could be misinterpreting. We could be adding to or taking away. And the only true understanding will come when we sit down with God's Word and seek to allow it to speak to us without any additions or subtractions, without any conflicts or contradictions being aroused by our giving misunderstanding misunderstanding certain scriptures. So we're saying this to get you to understand that we don't believe like many people do that the way we see it is 100% correct. We may be wrong, and we would have to change to formulate the truth as it's put forth in the New Testament to be right with God. We could be just as wrong as anyone else. But we do strongly believe that the New Testament is inspired of the Creator, and that we cannot add to it or take away from it, as it warns us all through the Old and New Testament writings, and also that we must only speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, that we cannot go beyond. So, you know, in my short lifetime, I've had to change positions when I found out that what I'd been taught wasn't what the New Testament teaches. And we have to have that kind of an attitude to love our God above everything else, and His Word must be the only thing that we follow in the religious arena. We must not add to it or take away from it. So getting back to our study, as we look at these different terms that are used, different designations, we're looking at different terms that were used by apostolic authority that we find within the pages of the inspired Word of God. We just got through looking at the body, the church. Let's look at the church of God. In Acts 20 and verse 28, this is a term that the Holy Spirit used. It says there in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood." So we see ownership there concerning deity of this church. Another passage is that we'll look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. There it says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctioned in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." Again, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. There it says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." So we find this term, church of God, used, and that is a scriptural term because we all understand that Jesus Christ is God the Son. He is deity. And so referring to this body as the church of God is scriptural and right because we find it within the pages of the New Testament. We find another term that's used churches of Christ in the plural. If you look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, there it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you or salute you. And so when you think of local congregations spread across the globe, then you see the term Church of Christ used as plural, churches of Christ. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we find the term house of God. And we'll read that verse now, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, where it says, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and buttress or ground of the truth. Again, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says there, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house or household of God. Another term that's used from the Holy Spirit that's found in the New Testament is Galatians 6 and verse 10, a household of faith. There it says in verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Another term we find is the kingdom of God. Go to Acts 28 and verses 23 and 31. And there it says, when they had appointed a day for them, they came to him at his lodging in greater volumes. Or numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And so, as we study in the future, we'll say more concerning the kingdom and the church to show that these terms are interchangeably used, as you found in Matthew chapter 16 verses 18 and 19, and there are other passages that show that this church, this body, this kingdom is this one and the same entity that Jesus came and purchased with his own blood that he died for. It's also called the kingdom of God's dear son. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. In Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, as you study your own Bible with a complete concordance, and you see these terms used being transferred from the power of darkness into kingdom of the Son of his love in this passage and other passages, you'll see that the same place that we are put when we obey the gospel, the kingdom, the church, is where we receive redemption, where we receive the forgiveness of sins. Because when we obey the gospel correctly, then the blood of Christ washes our sins away, and we're put into this place where salvation is reached, called the church, the body, the kingdom, the household of God. And so this is a passage that shows that also. Let's look at another one in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. This is the term here is a kingdom which cannot be shaken. So therefore it says, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. As you study these scriptures and you put them all together, then you understand more fully, and you are led to see the truth that this organization, this kingdom, this church, this body, this household, this family, all of these terms that are used in the New Testament, is that entity that Jesus came and built, that he came and died for, that when we obey the gospel correctly, he puts us into this place where he is the Savior of this entity. And so, of course, the question we have again is your church mentioned by the apostles? Remember, we have to speak as the oracles of God. We have to have the scripture from our Creator that gives us authority to do what we do religiously, to believe what we believe religiously. It must come from the Creator. And so this is a very viable question. It's an important question. That am I with a religious group that claim to be following Christ and that seem to do things that seem to follow Christ, but what name are they wearing religiously? Are they giving honor to the person who died on the cross for them? Is that what the group is called? Or do they have some human name, another name, a name that you don't even find in the New Testament? That's what we would like you to consider. Next thing we look at, got a few more minutes left, we'll start looking at the membership of this body, of this kingdom, this church. What causes a person to be a member of it? And actually, as we study this, and I'll get into this in detail later on, we don't have time to go through everything right now, but first of all, before you can do anything else to become a member of this organization of which Christ is the Savior of, that you read about in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that there's one very important thing that has to happen, and that is we have to believe the gospel. In other words, to believe the gospel, you have to hear it. If you don't hear the gospel as it's put forth in the New Testament, now, hearing could either be somebody telling you or you reading it for yourself, because when you read the New Testament, you're hearing it from the Holy Spirit through those inspired apostles and prophets that were guided by the Holy Spirit to write the truth from God. So that's why it says in Romans 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or through the Word of God, or Christ. I want you to think about that for a minute, dear listener. If I'm being taught religious commands or religious teachings that don't come from the Word of God or the Word of Christ, the New Testament, then I cannot get the proper kind of faith. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have faith. They have faith in one God, or they have faith in an idol, or they have faith maybe in Jesus, but they believe other things about Jesus. Some people believe Jesus isn't God the Son, that he's a created angel, a created being. Or they just believe, others believe he's just a great prophet. Well, but you have to have that kind of faith that comes from the Word of God, the Word of Christ, the New Testament. Your faith has to be the faith that comes only from that source of the Creator in heaven. And that's the problem, a big problem that we have, that you can't believe properly in the Lord unless you're being taught properly. You have to hear the Word of Christ, the Word of God. That's in the New Testament. Now, if you listen to me, you may hear the Word of God, you may not, because I may be teaching false doctrine. You have to go to the New Testament and examine the Scriptures to see if what I say is really what the Scriptures teach, or anyone else. That's what they did with Paul. The Bereans did that in Acts 17:11. They were more noble because they examined the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures to see if the things he was teaching was so. And dear listener, that's what you and I must do today. I don't care who it is that's talking to you about the Bible, about Jesus, about God, about anything spiritual. The Bible is the only thing that's inspired today, not any man walking upon the face of this earth. I know there are many people out there that say they're inspired and God talks to them and God tells them. And you know, a lot of them get a following. And there's some religious groups around us today that started by one person claiming that God talked to them and told them things that nobody else knew. And complete organizations have grown up around their teachings. But if you just follow the New Testament, dear listener, you won't believe those teachings, because you know it's got to be found within the pages of the New Testament. And that's the only authority that Jesus Christ has given, and there's no other authority. So we would encourage you to tune in next week at 8 to 8:30 when we come back again with Bible Talk, the Lord willing. And I want you to think about these things and pray about them and study your Bible and seek only for God's truth. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.